I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's official. President Trump has announced his decision to pull the U.S. out of the Paris climate deal. Speaking at the White House this afternoon, Trump said he will cease implementation of the accord, which called for the U.S. to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. But he also said he would begin new negotiations to possibly re-enter a global climate deal of some sort. Trump said the current deal would have cost millions of Americans jobs and slow economic production. Here's an excerpt from his Rose Garden announcement today.
The rest of the world applauded when we signed the Paris Agreement. They went wild. They were so happy. For the simple reason that it put our country, the United States of America, which we all love, at a very, very big economic disadvantage. A cynic would say the obvious reason for economic competitors and their wish to see us remain in the agreement is so that we continue to suffer this self-inflicted major economic wound. We would find it very hard to compete with other countries from other parts of the world.
President Trump speaking earlier today. Joining me now in the studio is the World's Environment editor Peter Thompson and reporter Carolyn Beeler. For both of you, Carolyn, Peter, what were the key takeaways to this announcement in the Rose Garden, aside from the big headline that the U.S. is pulling out of the Paris deal?
Well, I think it's typical Donald Trump. He sees the U.S. as being the victim here. He sees us as being at the butt end of everybody else's joke, of everybody else's scheming, and that we are not going to put up with that anymore. We're going to fight back. To my mind, and I've been following this for 25 years, I was at the Framework Convention where the Framework Convention was hashed out in Rio in 1992. It represents a complete misunderstanding of the nature of the problem, the scope of the problem. He cites entirely all the most perhaps extreme cost analyses of what this will cost us, but none of the cost of what climate change will cost us and none of the benefits of what many people say a new green economy will bring to us as well.
Carolyn, what about for you? What was the big takeaway?
Some of the same things that Peter said. Also wanted to highlight that President Trump talked a lot about fairness and the fact that India and China could keep burning coal and growing, whereas the U.S. was going to be hampered. And I sort of had two reactions to that. First, the commitments that the U.S. and every other country made under the Paris Agreement were nationally determined. So the U.S. had control over what it said it would do. China had control over what it said it would do. So that was sort of our own making, what we said we would do. And then if you look at this on the global timescale, you know, the U.S. has done a lot more historically since the industrial era to contribute to this problem. And so saying that we are being unduly hampered by trying to do some part of reducing it sort of has a very narrow view of what fairness means in sort of in terms of global climate change. And that's something that I believe developing countries will be commenting on going forward.
Yeah. What's the truth? Is the U.S. getting a rough deal on this, Peter?
Well, unfairness is still completely in the eye of the beholder. And first of all, we are still the largest historic emitter of greenhouse gases over since the Industrial Revolution by far. China is currently the largest annual emitter, but we are still among the top two per capita emitters in the world. We emit twice as much per capita, roughly, than China does. So who's getting the short end of the stick in terms of trying to bring that down? We are at a much higher level of development than China is. Nobody can argue with that. What the Paris Agreement was meant to do was to give China, India, Brazil, the rest of the developing world some room to grow, to come up to roughly where we already are and get a lot of the benefits that we have already had, and that we have also the economic wherewithal to change our economy and green our economy in a way that they don't yet themselves. So, yes, you could say that in one way it looks very unfair to the United States. In other ways, it looks like we have the ability to do a lot better, and we are giving the rest of the world a bit of a leash to get up to where we are.
Peter and Carolyn, stick around. I want to bring in Paul Bodner. He's a former Obama administration climate change negotiator, and he's currently at the Rocky Mountain Institute. Paul, thanks for being here. What is the U.S. pulling out due to the larger agreement, do you think?
Well, I think it's a sad day for U.S. standing in the world and a big misreading of the economics here. The president laid out a vision of the American economy that goes back to the era of the steam engine, practically. So I don't know whether he also plans to make typewriters great again. But what actually is an engine of the U.S. economy is renewable energy. It's among the fastest growing areas of the economy. For every coal miner in the United States today, there are 5 people working in the solar industry and 3 million Americans overall working in clean energy. So it's puzzling to me why the president, who professes to speak for business, ignored a relatively unanimous warning for major American businesses not to withdraw from the agreement, including Exxon and coal companies. And he'll have presumably some explaining to do with his constituencies there. I am pretty confident that the agreement as a whole is going to withstand this blow. It was painstakingly crafted to be designed around the self-interest of countries. And one of the big changes we've seen since the Kyoto era, since the last time this happened, is that climate action has gone from being a hair shirt, something that countries were being pressured to do but didn't really want to do, to something that they actually did want to do because they understand the other benefits of moving to a clean energy economy. I mean, who really wants a coal-fired power station next door when you can have solar panels? And so I think you're going to see that reaction from the international community. You know, we're going to move on and the U.S. can, you know, be isolated, but
As far as that international community, I mean, those comments near the end of what Trump said, negotiations to re-enter the agreement, is there a hunger among people in the Trump camp to do that?
No, unfortunately, I think they totally misunderstand the international community's view here. There's not going to be any appetite to renegotiate this agreement. First of all, it was negotiated substantially around U.S. interests. That is why we have a Paris Agreement that's very different from the Kyoto Protocol. And so there is not going to be an appetite to renegotiate, and I think he'll find there's no one on the other side of the table.
Paul Bodnar, a former Obama administration climate change negotiator, thanks very much for your time and for your reaction today.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm joined once again by the World's Environment Desk editor Peter Thompson and reporter Carolyn Beeler. Peter, just to get back to Donald Trump's announcement this afternoon at the White House that he is pulling the U.S. out of the Paris climate deal. The 2 degrees Celsius goal, keeping average temperature rise below that, that's a number the international community agreed upon. Do we have any sense as to whether the White House sees that number differently? Do they have any science behind their arguments?
I certainly haven't seen it. Scott Pruitt, the EPA administrator, who has been a longtime critic of climate policy, essentially says that, as Donald Trump has, that it's bunk. He says we need a lot more study. We don't really know what's going on. Most of the world's relevant scientists say we do know what's going on. What's going on is we have very little room to move in terms of the amount of carbon dioxide equivalent we can release into the atmosphere before things get really dangerous. And this makes keeping that from happening much, much more difficult.
Carolyn, now that we know the U.S. is pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement, what does that mean practically? Is there kind of a calendar for this to roll out?
So the announcement today in the Rose Garden was big on vision, not huge on details. But if the U.S. chooses to just pull out of the Paris Agreement, which is what it sounds like, you know, President Trump wants to do, that will take almost four years to finalize. So there's a 3-year period after the agreement was finalized, which was this past November, in which countries cannot formally pull out. And then once a country notifies that it wants to be removed from the agreement, there's a year waiting period. So the earliest this could be finalized would be actually November of 2020, the day after the 2020 presidential election. So none of this is going to happen quickly, although the U.S. could stop immediately attending meetings and contributing to all of the negotiations and conversations around the Paris Agreement.
That's Carolyn Beeler and Peter Thompson, both from the World's Environment Desk. Thanks very much for your thoughts.
Thanks, Marco.
Thank you, Marco.